Let's go to the book of Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1. And we're going to read verses 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 is our text today. I'm going to bring another message on the subject of fellowship. And this may be probably the last one that I think of. We're going to be on missions conference tonight, next Sunday. And then Brother Runyon will be here the next Sunday. So I do want to speak one more time on the subject of fellowship. Out of this chapter, this passage, let's stand together, please, in honor of God's good word. A little bit late getting into the message, so I want to move right along. And we're going to read here verses number 3 through 7. Actually, you know, we need to do that. 3 through 7, and that'll be all right. Please join me on the even verses 4 and 6. So Paul wrote Philippians 1:3. I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine, for you all, making request with joy. For your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel, ye all are partakers of my grace. Dear Father, I pray that you'll please bless the preaching of your word this morning. Again, we thank you for all the little ones. The message won't be about them or their upbringing today. But Lord, I pray your richest, richest blessings on each little life. Now bless the song, the singer. Prepare our hearts for the word of God to follow it. In Jesus' name and amen. Thank you. Be seated. Message of it, and wonderfully presented. Amen. We're going to speak this morning on the subject fellowship in the gospel. Paul mentions that in verse number 5. He says, so as he's thanking God for them, these folks, he says, the first thing I thank God for is for your fellowship in the gospel. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you that Calvary answers for our past and also answer for our future. God, we praise you for that. And thank you, Lord, for grace that was extended to us through Calvary. Now bless our message from the Word of God. May it speak to the hearts of your people and help us and bless us and encourage us. And I'll thank you for it in advance, Lord, for your Holy Ghost help. In Jesus' name I ask for it. And amen. Paul had a very tender spot, I've said that many times over these years, in his heart for the church at Philippi. He started this church on his second missionary evangelistic trip. The first convert in Philippi was Lydia. And then those that got saved next were those that were in her household. And then later on in Paul's ministry there, the jailer down at the Philippian jail, he got converted and his household came to know Christ. And a great church was started. Evidently the church grew and became a great testimony for the Lord, not only in the city of Philippi, but in surrounding areas and regions of the known world at that time. Had a great testimony. In verse number 3 and 4, Paul said, I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy. So he says, I think about you often, pray for you, and rejoice in knowing you. And then he says, the first thing that I mentioned when I was thankful for you is found in verse number 5, for your fellowship in the gospel. That was the first thing Paul was thankful for. Thankful for the fellowship that he had with those people that was centered in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Now, we've been looking at all kinds of fellowship, different ways the people of God enjoy fellowship. And here is a specific way that the people of God in a local New Testament church enjoy fellowship. That fellowship that can be enjoyed is in the gospel. Now, Paul makes it very clear, the Bible makes it very clear, that the gospel is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That's what the gospel is. 1 Corinthians 15 makes that point very, very clear for us. We won't take the time to turn. I'm going to forsake some of turning to the references that I had for sake of time. And just, you know, 1 Corinthians 15, many of you know that. It's established right there. The death, burial, resurrection of Jesus Christ is the gospel. The word gospel means good news or a good message. And the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ is good news. It is a good message for people everywhere to either tell or hear. And there is fellowship in the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Quickly now, let me give it to you, three things. There is fellowship in the immediate bond of the gospel. There's fellowship in the immediate bond of the gospel. Look at what Paul said in verse 5. He said, for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. I like those words, first day. It didn't take long for fellowship to develop after somebody got saved. In fact, you read over there in the book of Acts chapter 16 when Lydia got saved, that she had Paul and his group come down to her house and she entertained them there and evidently prepared a great meal. And it reads as if some of Paul's company, some of his traveling company, might have even stayed there in the home with Lydia and her household. And so they had fellowship. And the same thing happened in Acts chapter 16 when the jailer got saved. He had them come down to the house and he put a meal before them. And then his children got saved and they all got baptized and there was great rejoicing and fellowship at the jailer's house. And why not? Why not? That jailer was a split second from an eternity in the lake of fire. Y'all know that? Y'all remember that story when that earthquake came? And boy, the chains and all the buildings evidently fell apart. And the prisoners who were in there escaped. He thought that the prisoners surely had escaped. And he pulled out a sword and was going to kill himself because the law demanded that if a prisoner escaped on your watch, it was your life for theirs. So he pulled out a sword, supposing that all the prisoners had fled. And Paul hollered out, I mean, that man's sword was evidently about to pierce his chest, committing suicide. Paul hollered out, "Do thyself no harm. We're all here. Nobody's gone." And it was at that point in time then that the jailer dropped his sword and made his way in before Paul, fell upon his knees trembling and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" And Paul answered, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved and thy house." That man was a split second from an eternity in hell, and now he's on his way to heaven. Not only him, but his family. On his way to, there would be great reason for fellowship, wouldn't there? And that's what happened. And it didn't take them long to enjoy it from the first day. And this small group of believers, they began to meet together with the Apostle Paul. And the preaching of God's Word began to grow them. And there was a great fellowship among those folks. I like Paul's attitude about them. Look at what he said in verse number 6. He said, "Being confident of this very thing, that he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." I like Paul's attitude there about those new converts, don't you? I do anyway. I like his attitude. I like it. I like his attitude. He said, "I'm confident." I guess they're not new converts now when he's writing this letter. They've been saved for some time. And he said, "Man, I'm confident about it. I'm confident that God, the Lord Jesus, that's the same grace that saved you, is going to take you all the way through, and you're going to do a good work for Jesus Christ." You know, after I got saved, I told you this before, my two grandpas were already in heaven, but my grandmothers became big great. I'm not minimizing Dad and Mom and my brothers, but my grandmothers became the greatest encouragement in my life as a newly born again child of God, age 18. And Grandma Angel, you folks never got to meet her. My Meemaw came here with us at the very beginning, back 19 and a half years ago now. But Grandma Angel never got to come. She was too elderly. And she would write me letters. I'm talking about from the time I got saved all through college. And she'd write letters and she'd sign it. Every time she signed her name, "Love, Grandma," she would always write Philippians 1:6. Philippians 1:6. I don't think that was an accident, friend. I don't think that was a happen chance. I think she put that verse there on purpose. And what she was saying was, "I'm confident, Terry. I'm confident that the God that's begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." Boy, that's an encouragement, isn't it? Folks, listen, church. Let me talk to our church family just for a minute here this morning. Nothing is more important for a church than to continue to see people saved and baptized and brought into the fellowship of the gospel. And I'm glad for the expansion and the remodeling upstairs for the Spanish department. I'm glad for this auditorium that we now get to worship God. I'm glad for that building over there across the parking lot. And they came yesterday with about 18 people from two other churches over in Indiana who are looking at using the contractor we did. And they wanted to walk through and ask me to come over if I'd just say a word. And I'm glad for that building over there. And they're wonderful tools, folks. I don't minimize their importance. Many of us have sacrificed and given for years now so that we could have those buildings. But I want to tell you that's not the most important thing. The most important thing is that this church continues to see people saved and baptized and brought into the fellowship of the gospel. Brought into it. Now listen, we're living in skeptical, suspicious days. Y'all know that? There have been so many fakes and screwballs in churches that have given churches a bad rap and bad name. And man, you can see some of that stuff in these services that they show on television, all that nonsense going on. There's a lot of skepticism. There's a lot of cynicism. There's a lot of suspicion about churches these days. And I want to tell you what, people come to visit. They come to hear the gospel. They don't always respond the first time they come. In fact, statistics show that most adults who get saved in church don't get saved the first time they visit. It's sometimes 3 and 4 times. We have a lady sitting here this morning who came several services before she responded to the Word of God and the invitation to trust Jesus Christ as Savior. It came a couple Sundays ago to trust Jesus Christ as Savior and here this morning. Now, if they don't get saved the first time, do you know what brings them back? Friendliness and a warm spirit and enthusiasm and a spirit of joy in the service. They realize they may not be saved. They may not understand all that's going on. They may be blind to the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, but they sense they're aware the Holy Ghost can use the very atmosphere of the service to bring them back under the sound of the gospel. They're not sure what it is, but they're sure that there's something different about here. Huh? That's what I'm talking about. And I tell you, excuse me, when I read the word fellowship that Paul uses in verse number 5, and he said it was from the first day. From the first day, when I read the word fellowship, I don't get a picture of a bunch of dead, self-centered, only interested in me, a mortuary wax museum where everybody comes just to inspect everybody. I picture a place that's warm and friendly and joy and handshakes. And man, we're glad you're here. And we're so glad you've come and sit by me. If you don't have a couple Wednesday nights ago, we got into the service. And after prayer time, I looked up and there was a gentleman sitting out here beside Dan Thomason. He looked just like Lovie Smith. I thought it was Lovie Smith. I thought he's in trouble. He needs prayer. That's why he came tonight. Amen. Yeah. I looked out there and I said, Dan, introduce your friend. Who's your friend? Dan Thomason. He said, I just met him. He's in the foyer. He said, this is Charles Stevens, I think his name was. I forget. Charles was here last Sunday. He's already saved. He's going to deploy to Iraq for the third time. He's going to deploy third time, second or third time to Iraq or Afghanistan this July. And it blessed me that one of our men walked into the service, got in a little late from work on Wednesday night, walked into the service, saw a strange face in the foyer, said, come on in and sit with me. That's what I'm talking about right there. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about, brother, I'm talking about even if they're lost. I'm talking about the spirit of fellowship in the gospel. Now, I mean, there is an immediate bond in the gospel of Jesus Christ, in the fellowship. Brother, you know, those lost people come and then when they get saved, there is an immediate bond and the handshake and the welcome to church. And folks, please don't meet converts with skepticism. Please don't meet converts with cynicism. Please don't come, well, I wonder how long you'll last. Well, I wonder if you really meant it. I wonder if you meant it. With that kind of attitude, I wonder if you're saved. Paul didn't have that kind. You reckon Paul met any people on his journey that made a false profession of faith? But Paul remained confident. He remained upbeat. And that's what I'm saying. Brother, you know, we saw these little babies here, when they were brought home from the hospital, now there was, of course, that bonding with mom and that took place for 9 months before the baby ever saw the light of day. And then that bonding time in the hospital wherever the baby was born with dad and mom. But you know, if there's older siblings, if there's older children in the home, that little baby comes in, man, there is rejoicing and excitement. All the older kids want to hold the younger kid, want to hold the baby. You know, the only ones that have any kind of trouble with that is the little toddlers. Man, they're immature. Remember when Hannah wasn't even 2 years old when Ben came along. And Hannah was trained. Boy, that's always a glorious moment, amen, when they get trained. Hallelujah. And we brought Ben in the house, and man alive, if she didn't have to go, she went backwards. Backwards. She wasn't even 2 years of age, and she just acted a little funny because there was a new little one getting all the attention. I remember when Leah was born down here, and Luke was only 18 months old. Man, I never forget the little guy. Went down to the hospital, and here was Joyce with little Leah in her arms and, you know, snuggled up with her, close to her and everything. And here's old Luke, he's just 18 months old. He just moved in a whirlwind trip from Iowa to Illinois. I mean, his whole life, first 18 months, was just up with just one big whirlwind. Well, I remember that little face down in the hospital, him looking at her and that baby. It was kind of like, I don't know who you are, but you're in my place. Y'all know what I'm saying, right? You know who has thoughts like that? Immature people. Immature kids. You know who gets offended in church if a newcomer sits in your seat? Immature Christians. A mature Christian rejoices. Bless God. Praise the Lord. Somebody new in church today. I get to look at Pastor Angel from a different perspective. It doesn't change any folks, but it's a different perspective. Amen. All right? I'm just talking about being happy. I'm talking about, look, the most important issue at Faith Baptist Church is the salvation, baptism, and bringing new converts into the fellowship that's in the gospel at this place right here. Believe you me, friend, even lost visitors, unsaved visitors, when they walk through that door back there, they'll know if there's a sweet spirit in this place or if there's not. Don't ask somebody who's been around here for years or even 4 or 5 years. You ask the new person. They're good spirit here because they'll know right away if it's an ice cube, if it's an ice box, or if it's a greenhouse. Amen. Y'all listening this morning? Amen. We're talking about the fellowship that's in the gospel. The fellowship there. Man alive, let us always be rejoicing and enthusiastic and excited about folks coming to Jesus Christ. I mean, there's an immediate bond. Paul said, from your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Now look at number two. Number two, there is fellowship in the defense of the gospel. Look at what he said in verse number 7. He said, even as it is meet for me to think this of you all, because I have you in my heart, inasmuch as both in my bonds and in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Paul said, there's fellowship, not only immediate bond in the gospel, but there's fellowship in the defense of the gospel. You know, I don't do this often, but it doesn't hurt once in a while. You know what the Greek word here for the word defense is, our English word defense? The Greek word is the word apologia. It's where we get our word apology. It's where we get our word apologetics. If you go to a Bible college and you take a course called apologetics, it is a course that teaches you the defense of your faith. Why do you believe what you believe? Well, because that's what the church says. Poorest excuse you could ever make. That's why we invite you to bring a Bible with you. Okay? Look at it. Okay, study along, read, see where the pastor's preaching from, the text he's using. Apologetics teaches you to defend your faith from the Word of God. It's an apology. It's not in the sense of, I'm sorry, I've done wrong. It's an apology in the sense of, this is why I believe what I believe. Watch me now. Here is the defense of my faith. This church enjoyed fellowship with the Apostle Paul in the defense of the gospel. Now listen up. You see, there were a lot of false gospels circulating in Paul's day. A lot of false gospels. And I'm here to tell you this morning, folks, that Paul did not take it's okay, who cares? He didn't take that kind of attitude toward a false gospel. Did not take that kind of attitude. In fact, he was pretty worked up when it came to false gospels. He was pretty adamant about false gospels. Hold your finger here, Philippians 1. Put your little ribbon or a piece of paper there, pen or something. Turn over to Galatians. Just turn back a few pages to Galatians chapter 1. And he mentions this whole subject right here in Galatians chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. And a little play on words, and I'll show you, illustrate it for you this morning in just a minute. Look at verse number 6. Paul writes these churches in Galatia, several of them. He says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not another. You have been removed from the gospel. You've been removed from the gospel to another gospel, which is not another. Now let me show you, illustrate what he's saying here. Here are two pens. All right? Here's actually three pens. Here's a pen. This pen is another pen, but it is identical to this pen. This is another pen, but it is not identical to this pen. Do you see that? Paul said, I gave you the gospel, and I am shocked that you are so soon removed to another gospel, which is not another one like the one I gave you. Y'all with me this morning? Y'all see that? It's another gospel, but it's not another gospel. It's not like the one I gave you. Now, I want you to look at Paul's attitude in verse number 7, which is not another. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Look at what he says here. But though we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel unto you, then that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. And that word, friend, doesn't just mean shame on you. It means let him be damned to hell. That's strong. And then he says it again, as we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that ye have received, let him be accursed. You say, boy, that's a pretty severe attitude. Look at folks. It's one thing to have another pen that's not like this pen. But you know what pens are for? Pens are used to write. You know what the gospel's for? The gospel is to keep people out of hell and get them ready for heaven. That's a little bit more important than pens. And Paul said, look, my goodness. He said, I came to you with the message of the gospel. And somebody else came with another gospel that wasn't like the one I brought to you. It was completely different. He said, now don't let anybody come to you with another gospel that's not the same as the one I brought. If somebody else comes preaching the same gospel that I preached, you receive him and you receive their word. But if they come preaching this other gospel, let that person be damned to hell. Now, brother, that's serious business, isn't it? You know, the church at Philippi felt as strongly as Paul did about the false gospels. And there was a fellowship as they worked together to defend the gospel. And people of God, there is a fellowship here at Faith Baptist Church as we stand together against false gospels. Now, I plan on doing that until Jesus comes or until He takes me home. And I hope that you'll stand with me in that endeavor. And I believe you have for these years, and you did that before I came here. There is fellowship in the defense of the gospel. I don't know about you, but I drive by that place down the road from your house, Brother Scott. I drive by that Kingdom Hall down there, and it grieves me. And I drive by the LDS, the Latter-day Saints over on Briarcliff Lane. And the one on one of two, and that grieves me. And I drive by the Catholic churches in this town, and it grieves me. I am not mad at the people who park their cars and go into those buildings. I'm mad at Satan. I'm mad at the devil. I'm mad at he's the great deceiver. I'm mad at those who perpetrate the false gospel. Because hear me this morning, friend. We are not all going to the same place. We're not. That's not true. We are not all serving the same God. We are not. And we are not all going to the same place just using different routes. I'm sorry. That is not true. And for people to perpetrate that message gives people the false pretense of heaven. And God forbid that they would ever come to this town and try to build a mosque. They have to rise up and stand against that as a group of people. Because, brother, there is a fellowship that is in the defense of the gospel. And that's what I hear all the time from the, well, we're all serving the same God, just getting there different ways. My gracious. Have you ever read John 14:6? Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. You ever read Acts 4:12? Neither is there salvation in any other, for there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If somebody goes to a door and gives another name besides the name of Jesus as the way to heaven, they are perpetrating a false gospel that's putting people under the false pretenses that they are going to heaven. We have new converts in this church. And one talked to me last Sunday morning, and I'll just address the issue here for all of us. Buddy, when the JWs and the LDS show up at your door, I wouldn't give them the time of day. And what happens to some of you new Christians, you're going to discuss your faith in Jesus Christ. I would not, the Bible makes that clear in the book of either 2nd or 3rd John, that anybody comes to your house that doesn't bring the name of Jesus Christ and the deity of Jesus Christ intact, if they don't believe that Jesus is God, not just a Son of God, but the Son of God, God the Son. If they don't come with that message, don't let them in your house. Don't even say, God bless you. That's what the Bible says. When the Mormons and the JWs come around, I'd just say, why don't I say I'm a born again, on my way to heaven, saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, Baptist preacher, and I don't have any time for your stuff. And close the door. Don't you say, have a good day? Nope. Now, you're mean. Well, you know, I'm sorry. But some have gone before me who gave their life, burned at the stake, torn apart by four horses, to defend the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You get upset because I have that kind of attitude about a false perpetrator of a false gospel that gives people a false pretense of heaven. I'm sorry, folks. Just sorry. I don't plan to get a good spirit about it. I like what Denny Corll said a long time ago. He said, Brother Corll, he was preaching along. He said, you say, Brother Corll, you've got a bad spirit. He said, you're right, and I've worked hard to get it, and I plan to keep it too. Amen. It's not just for the sake of getting mad, friend. It's not just for the sake of making a show. That's a false message that gives people a false pretense of eternity in heaven. So I'd just cut it off. I'd cut it off at the very beginning. There is a fellowship in the defense of the gospel. And brother, may the Lord ever smile upon Faith Baptist to help us stand for the defense of the gospel. There's a fellowship in that as we defend the gospel. Number three, my last one. Let's go back to Philippians chapter 1, verse number 7. Not only is there a fellowship in the defense of the gospel, not only is there an immediate bond in the gospel, but there is fellowship in the confirmation of the gospel. That's what he said at the end of verse number 7. In the defense, and I like the way he puts the two together here, in the defense and confirmation of the gospel. Confirmation, the word means establishment. It means stabilization. You know what Paul is saying? He's talking about getting it sown, planted into the very fabric of a community. The best way to defend the gospel is to confirm it. The best way to expose the error is to proclaim the truth. That's the best way to expose the error. Look, we don't defend the gospel by going to somebody's door and knocking on the door and saying, have the JWs been here? Hey, have the Mormon? Have the Latter-day Saints been here? Have they been to your house? Well, let me tell you where they're wrong. You don't go with that attitude, and you don't go with that spirit, and you don't go with that message. You knock on the door. Here, let me tell you about the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. The best way to defend the gospel is to proclaim it. The best way to defend it is to confirm it. The best way to expose error is to get the truth out. Tell folks about Jesus Christ. Listen, you want fellowship? Real fellowship. People say, well, I'm looking for fellowship. You know what? And I go back to my first message on fellowship. You know what the modern day churchgoer's definition of fellowship is? Sitting down with a donut and a cup of coffee. Or tea, if you don't drink coffee. Hot chocolate. And there's a certain amount of fellowship in that. But brother, I'm going to tell you something. The fellowship of the New Testament has nothing to do with the donut and the cup of coffee. Starbucks wasn't even around when Paul was traveling. Huh? You want real fellowship? I'm looking for a church where I can have real fellowship. I want some real fellowship. They're talking about parties and social gatherings and activity. Bible says there's fellowship in the preaching of the Word of God. Bible says there's fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's fellowship in the sufferings of Christ, as we talked about last week in these messages. And there is fellowship in the gospel. There's fellowship. There's a fellowship that's in the immediate bond of the gospel. There's fellowship in the defense of the gospel. And there's fellowship in the confirmation of the gospel. You want real fellowship? I'm talking about Bible fellowship. Then let's keep working to see people saved and baptized. And let's rejoice. And let's be friendly. And let's be enthusiastic. And let's be happy when people come to visit, even if they get our seats. And and they may not walk, talk, and squeak and everything just like we do. But man, good night. Our doors are open. Come hear the truth of the message of the Lord Jesus Christ. Defend the gospel when we have to. Confirm it. Proclaim it. Get it out. That's fellowship. There's fellowship in that. Brother Caleb went out. He got a phone call on Tuesday from Brother Larry Kusija. Brother Larry has been saved now for a couple of years. Comes faithfully. His job works him on Sunday morning. Comes faithfully on Sunday night, Wednesday night. Works in the King's Kids ministry over there. Listening to the little boys say the memory verses on Sunday evening. And just loves it. And he just loves the church. He's born again. It was Don Casey won him to Christ. Don Casey's a member of the church up at Frankfort. And Don Casey was sick and couldn't get there for so many weeks and months. And he came here, sat in the back there. And then Don Casey led Larry Kusija, his next-door neighbor, to Christ. And got Larry here in this church because it was close. And then he got baptized and joined our church. And he called Caleb. He said, y'all going out soul winning tonight? And Caleb said, yes, we are. He said, well, I'd like to go. And Caleb said, come on, I'll go with you. And so Larry came. They went down to somewhere in the area here and to make a visit. And they knocked on the door of a lady that came to church here last Sunday. And, And she called on the phone. Oh, I think it was Saturday, a week ago Saturday. And I happened to be in the office, and I picked up the phone. Hello, Faith Baptist Church. This is so-and-so. I'm 20 years of age. Used to ride the bus when I lived in Bourbonnais. And I moved away for 4 or 5 years, and I'm back in the area. I'd like to come to church. There's a bus come by my house. Well, where do you live? Yes, we come by there. She said, I'd like to come tomorrow. I said, we'll work it out. She said, I'd like to bring somebody with me. I said, I don't think we allow that, ma'am. That's not what we do. And then it was real quiet on the other end of the phone. And then she laughed. And I laughed, and I laughed, and she laughed. I said, of course, you can bring somebody with you. I'm just teasing. And so I gave the address to Brother Caleb. He was visiting down in that part of the city. And she came last Sunday. And Brother Caleb and Larry went to see them and met her little 9-year-old sister. Met her little 9-year-old sister. And who either came to church, who either didn't come to church 4 or 5 years ago or was too young, just being 4 years of age or so, to know the gospel. And so Caleb and Larry, and they sat there with that little 9-year-old girl and gave the gospel message to her. And Larry, there was another boy in the house, younger yet, who couldn't sit still. Larry was trying to keep him occupied. And the boy went to his bedroom and got stuffed animals. And Larry was sitting there, and he was looking at those stuffed animals and taking them. The boy kept bringing stuffed animals. He kept piling stuffed animals. Brother Caleb said he finally looked over, and he saw Larry was completely covered with stuffed animals, completely covered with them. And then the little boy got back with a blanket, got a blanket, and brought the blanket, threw the blanket over Larry. So here's Larry, covered up with stuffed animals, holding all those stuffed animals, entertaining that little boy, and now he's got a blanket over his head. And the whole time, Brother Caleb has the little girl over here and showing her the gospel. He draws it all out in pictures. And that 9-year-old girl got on her knees, trusted Jesus Christ as her Savior that night. Now, they got back in the car, coming back to the church, and Caleb said Larry started crying. The tears rolling down his cheeks. He said, oh, that was so good. That was so good. And then he said, y'all see this all the time. I don't get to see that this often. My first time to see it. You don't see this often. And tears coming down his cheeks. And Brother Caleb said it touched his heart. Because sometimes we see these little kids come from junior church. Okay, yeah, let's get this done. We got to get out of here. The roast is about to burn. I got to go get mine at the restaurant. You hear me, friend, the most important thing that goes on in this church is the salvation and the baptism and the bringing into this church fellowship any age, boy or girl, man or woman, who gets saved by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That has to stay number one. That has to stay the main thing. Has to stay. Paul said there was fellowship in the gospel. Fellowship in the gospel. From the first day, an immediate bond. I mean, as soon as they came. Man, I'm so glad to see you. Glad you came to church. God bless you. Hey, folks, just because you greet them the first time they come, you don't treat them like they've been here for 50 years the second time. Man, you're back again. That's a blessing. God bless you. Thank you for coming. I feel for some of you folks. You never speak to anybody. If they're in your path, you speak to them. Huh? If they're in your path, from that door to your seat, wherever you sit, you never get around and say anything to anybody visiting, making them feel welcome. A visitor ought to go home like this. You can't run a football team that way. You can't run a business that way. You can't run anything that way. You can't build a church with old stuck up, mossy back people of God. Amen and amen and amen. Who are just so satisfied. Let's hurry and get this. Let's get this another little obligation done and over with. No, friend, I'm going to tell you what. There is a fellowship in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen and amen. And it's immediate. There's an immediate bond. And there's a fellowship in the defense of the gospel as we preach the truth. And there's a fellowship in the confirmation of it. And I hope that will speak to your heart this morning. Let's pray together. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. And I hurried, but we were on a little bit of a time constraint. Before we pray, give the invitation. I want to ask this morning this question. Now, we talked about the gospel, talked about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, talked about the fact that the only way to heaven is to be saved by trusting in the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, with that in mind, and I want to ask you this morning, would you please be honest? I have two questions. Here we go. Number one, are you saved? With that in mind, you don't get saved by the only gospel that will save your soul is this. Jesus died, was buried, and rose again. So, Pastor Angel, I am saved, and I know it. I've been saved, born again into God's family by trusting in the gospel of Jesus Christ. If that's your testimony, would you raise your hand this morning, wherever you're sitting, and I appreciate that. God bless you. Thank you. You may take it down. Is there one or more here this morning? You were honest. You didn't raise your hand because you don't know. Brother Angel, I don't know. I don't know where I'm headed. You talked about that Philippian jailer, one split second from hell, and false gospel sending people to hell. I don't know if it's heaven. I don't know if it's hell. I don't know that I'm saved. Pray for me. I could not lift my hand a moment ago. I'm not sure I'm saved. Would you raise your hand, please? Wherever you're sitting, let me pray for you this morning. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Not sure that I'm saved. I see your hand. God bless you. Is there somebody else? Not sure that I'm saved. Not sure. Pray for me. See a small hand. See an adult's hand. Somebody else. Not sure that I'm saved. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. No one looking. Front to back. Side to side. Pastor, I should have raised my hand just then. I don't know that I'm saved. Pray for me. Anybody else like that this morning? All right. In just a moment, we're going to give the invitation. When we do, we have men prepared with Bibles and ladies prepared with Bibles to show you how to be saved. If you're not sure that you're born again on your way to heaven, you come straight to one of these three men in the front and just say, I need to be saved, or I don't know that I'm saved. And they'll give you to somebody who will show you from the Word of God what it means to be saved. That happens when the music begins. I hope that you'll come. Who's here this morning? Pastor, I've been saved, but not baptized in deep water since I've been saved. Haven't been baptized since I've been saved. Pray for me. Would you lift a hand this morning? I see one or two hands. God bless you. If you know that that's what you need, you're ready this morning to Father, Lord, and believer's baptism, now's the time to come. While our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, just slip on out of your seat and come forward. If that's the reason you came this morning, God bless you. And we're going to get ready to baptize today. Anybody else that's not sure that you've been saved but not baptized, you need to learn about it. You come. That's wonderful. God bless you. Now, Christians, there's fellowship in the gospel, that immediate bond and the defense of the gospel, and on I could go, the confirmation. The single most important facet and ministry of a New Testament church is the salvation, baptism, and the bringing in of people to a New Testament church fellowship. Let's be friendly. Let's be enthusiastic. Let's be joyful. Let's defend the faith. Let's proclaim it. Let's confirm it. There's a man sitting here this morning who came because he found one of our tracts on the ground. Somebody took a tract, didn't want to read it, threw it on the ground. He came walking down the sidewalk, picked it up, said, I want to go to that church. He's sitting here this morning. Huh? Sitting here this morning. That's the best way to confirm the gospel. Just, you expose error by proclaiming truth. Let's stay at it. Let's be faithful. God bless you folks who've been going out and taking tracks. Let's be faithful at it. Let the Spirit of God help us now. In Jesus, I'm going to pray and then we're going to have the invitation. Jesus, I thank you for the gospel. It's your gospel. It is your death, your burial, your resurrection that saves us. And that's the most important message of the church. And defend it and confirm it. And there's fellowship in it. And we rejoice in that. Oh God, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for His death, His burial, His resurrection. Jesus, I pray that you'll bless these that have come this morning to be baptized. Thank you for their salvation. I pray for any here this morning not sure that they're saved. Oh God, the most important matter in their life is to know that they're on their way to heaven. If anybody's not sure of that, I pray that you'll bring them. Help us as a church to be mindful of the importance of these things in Jesus' name.